The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
Good evening, everyone. This week's Parashah is Parashah Shlach Lecho. Vaydaber Hashem el Moshe lemor. Hashem spoke to Moshe saying, Shlach lecha anoshim v'yasu etz eret kenan. Send men and let them spy out the land of Canaan. Asher ani nesein livnei Yisrael, which I am going to give to the Bnei Yisrael. Ish echod lematei avesav tishlochu. Okay, good evening. This week's parsha is Parsha Shlach Lecho. Vaydaber Hashem el Moshe lemor. Hashem said to Moshe to say, Shlach Lecho anoshim. Send for yourselves men, v'yasur etz eretz Canaan, and spy out the land of Canaan, asher ani nesein livnei Yisrael, which I'm going to give to the children of Israel. Ish echod lemate avesav tishlochu. One man from every tribe you shall send. Kol nosibahem, the prince of every tribe should choose that person. And Moshe sent the people, the men, from the desert of Paran. They were in the desert of Paran at the boundaries of Eretz Israel, and according to what Hashem said, Kulam Anoshim Roshi Bnei Yisrael Heima. They were all people of stature, and they were all the heads, people of positions, when it came of the Bnei Yisrael. When is this taking place? There's an echo. If we go back to Parshas Bahalei Secho and Perek Yud Aleph, last week's Parsha, Perek Yud, Posek Yud Aleph, there it is written, Vayhi Bashona Hashenis Bachedish Hasheni Be'esrem Bachodesh. It was the second year, the second month, the 20th of the month. Nale ha'onon me'al mishkano edus. The cloud which was over the sanctuary raised up. Vayisu b'nei Yisrael ma'aseyem mi'midbar Sinai. And that was the signal for b'nei Yisrael to start moving. So the b'nei Yisrael started to journey from the desert of Sinai. And vayishkain ha'onon b'midbar poron. And the cloud would settle in the desert of Paran. Now, the second year, the second month, the 20th, they came to Midbar Sinai. The Torah tells us in Parshas Yisrael, Bachodesh Ashlishi, Bechor Lachodesh. It was Rosh Chodesh Sivan. They left Mitzrayim, the 15th of Nisan, and then they traveled for 2 weeks in Nisan, and then the month of Iyar, and then on Rosh Chodesh Sivan, they came to the desert of Sinai, and they camped Eitzel Ahara next to Har Sinai. 6 days later, the Torah was given. These are the days between Pesach and Shavuos. When the Torah was given, they remained there almost a full year. Now it's the second year, and the second month, which would be Iyar, the 20th. On the 20th of Iyar, 10 more days would have been a full year. 20th of Iyar, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, now it's time to start moving. The reason why they remained there almost a full year, the Chazal tell us, was because of the Simchas HaTorah. It's like a chosen gets married to a kala, see, Shana Tamima, he's supposed to spend a year together before he starts to travel. So Klal Yisrael stayed by Har Sinai for just about a full year for Simchas HaTorah. Now, where were they going? It states to the desert of Paran. If we go a little further in Parshas Bahalei Secho, in Posuk Chof Tes, Vayememeshe Lechovav ben Ru'el Amidyoni, Chosein Moshe. Moshe said to Chovav, the Midyoni, his father-in-law. This was Yisrael. Nosim Anachnu, we are now traveling. So Yisrael was with them. We are now traveling al Amokam Asherom Arashem Aisei Etein Lochem. We are now traveling to the land which HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I will give you. In other words, we're going to Eretz Yisrael. It was known as Eretz Canaan then, because it was occupied by the children of Canaan. Lecha Itonu, come, go with us. Yisrael was thinking of going back home. Go with us. And it'll be good for you too, because Hashem is with us. So they were traveling from Har Sinai, Midbar, the desert of Sinai, Har Sinai, the mountain, to Eretz Yisrael. If we go another few psukim, Lamed Gimel, Vayisu me'har Hashem derek shlosh yishomim. They left the mountain of Hashem for a journey of 3 days. Varein b'ris Hashem naiseh lifneim derek shlosh yishomim nosu lehem manucha. And the Oren, this was an Oren, this was not in the sanctuary, there was another Oren that they carried, the Shivrei Luchas, in the broken tablets that was in front of them, that went 3 days ahead of them. Now, so it states here that they were going to Eretz Yisrael, and it was a 3-day journey. So Har Sinai is not too far from the borders of Eretz Yisrael, which is in the desert of Paran, the borders. Now Rashi tells us in Lamed Gimel, Mahalach Shlosh Yishomim Holchu B'Yem Echad. It states it was a Derech Shlosh Yishomim. It was a distance of 3 days, but it didn't take them 3 days to get there. It took them 1 day. Sheyakodesh Baruch Hu Chofetz Lachnisam La'oretz Miyad. Kodesh Baruch Hu wanted to bring them into Eretz Yisrael immediately. Which means that once they left the desert of Sinai, in 1 day they were at the borders of Eretz Yisrael. And the plan is to go in and take the land. And that's where we are now. When they came to the borders, Moshe, well, Kodesh Baruch Hu told Moshe, send men in to spy out the land. Now, even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe this, this was not his plan. That's why it states, Shlach Lecho Anoshim, which means, as you want to send people to go in and spy out the land, all right, go ahead. The Chazal tell us what happened, is that when they came to the land, they didn't want to go in, without first seeing. The reasons we will speak about in a minute or two. So therefore they demanded that spies and scouts go ahead first. So Moshe came to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he says, if this is what you want, go ahead. Now, this one we say 1 day, actually wasn't. It was a 3-day distance, which they would have done in 1 day, but there were a few delays along the way. And that's what takes place in the second half of Parshas Bahalei Secho. In the middle of Parshas Bahalei Secho, we have a Parsha, Vayhi B'Mso Aron. That's in Shishi, in Perek Yud, Posuk Lamed Hei. And there are two signs written in the Sefer Torah, Nun Hafuches, Nun, written upside down. And the Vayhi B'Mso Aron is just two psukim. And it's a special parsha by itself. In fact, it somehow even has a halacha of a special sefer. It's a special book of the Torah. And that was placed there as a division because after that, a number of things took place before we get to what's taking place here on the borders. And they want nice things. We had the safsut, the complainers, and those that wanted to eat meat, and the slav, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to bring the quail. And then we had when Miriam and Aaron spoke Lashon Hara against Moshe, so the camp had to wait another 7 days. So the one day that they were supposed to be at the borders was lengthened. And it was lengthened into about 40 days. So the Chazal tell us that actually this did not take place one day later. It took place 40 days later, which would be Erev Reish Chodesh Tammuz. If you count from the 20th of Iyar, there's 10 days in Iyar, there's Sivan, that's 30 days in Sivan, so you have roughly 40 days. And there was Erev Reish Chodesh Tammuz. So that's where we're holding now. Now, what is this that we're saying? HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Shlach Lecho. It's not my plan, it's your plan. So the Gemara in Sotah speaks about this, and Rashi brings it. L'daitecho, ani eina matzav lecho. This is your plan. I'm not commanding you to do it. Im tirtze shalach. If you want, all right. L'fi shebo Yisrael v'omru nishlecho anoshim lefaneinu. People came and they said, we want to find out what's happening. Moshe nimlach b'shchina. Moshe went and discussed it with Hashem. Omar, ani amarti lehem shitova. I have guaranteed you that it's a good land. Shineamar ale eschem me'oni Mitzrayim. Like he promised many times that I'll take you out of the difficulties and affliction of Egypt to bring you to a land, zav askol avudvash, milk it honey. So I don't need this. You want it, send. Why did the people want to send? Two reasons. First of all, they wanted to see how good the land was, because it wasn't Hefker. It's not where Akkari is. It's not like you come to a place and there's no one there and you just occupy it. It was very, very heavily occupied. And they would have to fight for it, at least to their perception, because who was there? There were the Amalekim, there were the seven nations of Canaan, which were ferocious nations, and there were also 31 kings, the Chazal tell us. Every king in the world had a summer palace in Eretz Israel. And a king comes with his army. So it wasn't Hefker by any means. So we're going to have to fight for it. We want to see what we're going to fight for. Is it worth it? Secondly, they were not too sure that they would be able to conquer it. So let's see what we're getting ourselves into. These seven nations, they were barbaric nations. And the Chazal tell us that they were the worst nations in the world. Chazal B'Sifri states that there was no nation in the world worse than the Egyptians, with the exception of these seven. They were Evdei Avodah Zorah, idolaters, Shefchei Domi, murderers, and Megalei Arayis. They were full of immorality. Yisrael was not an army. So they said, let's see what we're getting ourselves into. But it was a great mistake. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu, firstly, like we mentioned, he already told them it's a good land. Eretz Tovahim Me'od. Zavas Cholav Udvash. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells you it's good. You can be rest assured it's good. Then he already told them that you will be able to conquer it. And they already experienced all of the miracles of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They had experienced the miracles of Egypt, of the Yetzias Mitzrayim, the Exodus, of the Kriyas Yamsuf, the splitting of the sea, of the Milchames Amalek, the war against Amalek that they had immediately after leaving Egypt, of Matan Torah, the giving of the Torah. and of living in a desert for a full year, being sustained only through miracles, with the man and the water and so forth. So, the Ascholas Aveira, the beginning of this Aveira, was a lack of trust and loyalty to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A lack of Tamimus. Tamim Tiyem Hashem Elokecha. Place your trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They weren't prepared to do that. This is contrary of the great quality that Yisrael had when they went out of Mitzrayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Lechtech acharai b'minbar, Eretz Lezeruah. Zechati lo chesed u'rayich. I remember the great chesed of your youth, that you followed me into a barren desert, at least the central core. And this was contrary to the midah, the quality of the Obis, of Avram, Yitzchok, and Yaakov. In particular, Yaakov Avinu, that was called Ishtam, the one who placed total trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu through thick and thin. They wanted to trust themselves. Didn't want to put trust in someone else. They wanted to know for themselves. They wanted to see for themselves. So, he said, we want to see the land. And this is the midah, this was the midah, the quality of the nochos, the serpent, the first serpent. Where he seduced Adam and Chava to eat from the Eitz Hadas Tov V'ra. What was the Eitz Hadas Tov V'ra, the tree of knowledge of good and evil? That was a tree that would give a person chokhmah, wisdom, orma. The nochesh was oru mikol achayos, a cunningness. But what was the matter was wisdom. It was known as a chokhmah yisera. Too much wisdom. A wisdom which would bring him to good and evil. Well, what does that mean? Because actually, Tamimus and wisdom are at two ends of the pole. Wisdom is where you go entirely in accordance to the intellect. And Tamimus is where you rely on someone else, and you have a trust. We're obligated to use our seichel, but at the same time also have trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because we cannot know everything. So we use our seichel to the point that it's possible, but beyond that we have blind trust in Hashem. This was the difference between Israel and the nations. Nations, HaKadosh Baruch Hu came with the Torah. They said, we're not accepting anything until we see what it is. And then when they heard what it is, they didn't want it. Israel said, you give it to us. Then we accept it. Tu mishishorim tanchem. This was the trust, the blind trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that if you give us something, it'll be good. And the trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings the person close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because he's relying on him. Tomim tia im Hashem alakecho. You become together with Hashem. The chokhmah yisera, that brings the person to rely on himself alone, not on Hashem. It distances the person from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the source of life. That was the Eitz Chaim, the tree of life that was in the Gan Eden. And when they ate from the Eitz Hadas, the Tov V'ra, they distanced themselves from the tree of life. And through that, they brought Misa L'Olam, death to the world. And this was the Bochosh. And this was what they were doing. And this was contrary to Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov had so much trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, where he came closer to Hashem than any other person. As it states, Surase Choku Kalkisi HaKoved, that his image is not near the throne. It's on the throne of Hashem, engraved in the throne. And that's what Bilam said in Parshas Bolok. He said, Ko'esh ye'omer li'Yakov u'li'Yisrael ma po'al kel. The angels will have to ask Yaakov and Israel, what is Hashem doing? So Rashi explains, because ki le'nachash bi Yaakov. There's no sorcery by Yaakov. They're not interested in that. They trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The angels surround the throne, but Yaakov Avinu is with the throne. So the angels will come and ask Israel, what is HaKadosh Baruch Hu doing? And this was the beginning of their hate. Now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said something else. And Rashi brings, he said, Chayehem, you will not trust in me. I've told you. I've already told you it's a good land. I told you you will conquer it. You will not trust in me. You want to know for yourself. Shlach lecho. Go. Chayehem, by your lives, by the lives shaninesein lahem, mokum litos. I will give them the opportunity to err, to stumble. B'divrei maraglim. Leman lo yiroshuha. In order that they will not inherit the land. Now, from here came perhaps the greatest tragedy in the history of Israel. There were two greatest tragedies. One was the golden calf, and the other was here at the Maraglim. What came from here? What came from here is that the spies were all put to death when they came back. Thousands of people also. The people wanted to revolt against Moshe Rabbeinu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, all right, you'll all die in the desert and you won't inherit. And anyone between the ages of 20 and 60, any man, with the exception of the tribe of Levi and with the exception of the women that did not believe the spies, they would all die in the desert, and this is why we stayed 40 years in the desert, in order that anyone who was 20 then would be able to die before 60. Children went in. So from this one-day journey, it lasted 40 years, and for many, it never came to an end. Another generation went in. And even when the other generation went in, they did not go in the same way that they left Egypt. They left Egypt. It was perfect. It was all derech nes, through miracles. Maral writes, had it been the same generation, and at the same time they would have gone into Eretz Yisrael that way also, there would have been no war. It would have been all miracles. Would have not have taken them years and years to conquer the land and to settle it. And they would have never lost the land. The churbanos, destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, the first and of the second, and all the golias, and the 2,000 years golos that we're in now, which is from the second Beis HaMikdash, its destruction, all was because of this. So there could there be a greater tragedy? Now there's the question. HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew this was going to happen. He could foresee the future. So why didn't he merely tell Moshe Rabbeinu, no, do not send. People have come to you. They said, we want to send scouts before we go in. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should have said, instead of saying, Shlach Lecho, send, like you want. But beware, they're going to stumble. He should have said, Lai, now. You're not allowed to send in. Finish. Why did he say that? And look at what would happen. We would have saved all of this. The Churban of the first Beis HaMikdash, of the second Beis HaMikdash, and all of the bitter Golias. Simple. From here, we learn a great principle. Shemaim, Shemaim la Hashem, ve'oretz nosan livnei odom. The heavens belong to Hashem. Kodesh Baruch Hu says, the land I give to you. I cannot intervene. People many times say, well, it was Bashert. It's sheker. It's a lie. Kodesh Baruch Hu doesn't mix in. World he gave to man. If we see destruction in the world, that's because man has destroyed the world. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not allowed to mix in. This is the way he created the world. He created the world and he said, look, the heavens are mine. I give you the earth. I will instruct you what to do. I will even tell you what is the good thing to do. Hinei nosati lifneichem esatov. I place before you life and death, good and evil. Bachata bachayim, I'll even tell you, take this, but the rest is up to you. And I will not intervene. I'm not allowed to. Because this is Allah Kodesh Baruch who created the world. And this is the Amud Abakhira, the pillar of free choice. Because if he does intervene, then there's no free choice in the world. And this is what the Rambam writes. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Tshuva. He says, this is his language. He says, Lekemei shecheshvim tipshei ha'umais, v'reiv gomei b'nei Yisrael. Not the way the nations of the world, the fools of the nations of the world think, or even the majority of those who lack any seichel of Yisrael, any wisdom of Yisrael. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu decrees on man what he should do. If he said, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, do not go, then he's decreeing that they should not go. He's already told them, I don't need. What do you need for? But if he will stop them, then he's decreeing. He will not decree. That's left to man. Not the way that the fools of the world think. And he says even the majority of those of Yisrael that are glomim. Glomim means people that lack any lev lehovin, or how to understand. It's not bashert. A person does, acts like a fool. Then he did it. Not HaKadosh, don't blame it on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Abol letomei, peishchin lei. Person comes to make himself tomei, the door is open. The world is yours. Because if HaKadosh Baruch Hu would intervene, we would not see any destruction in the world. We would not see any evil in the world. So we see even here, where the greatest tragedy in the world was about to come. Kodesh Baruch Hu said, I can't stop them. I hope they won't do it. I'll beg you to tell them not to do it. But the choice is theirs. But you should know, if they're going to do it, they will stumble. I cannot stop them. This is what we see from here, because it would have been very simple for him to tell Maisha, refuse. Maisha was the king. I decree that you must refuse them permission to send in scouts. Finished. Now, on the other hand, if a person trusts HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he says, this is what you say, I rely on you. And he gears all of his actions in accordance to what HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him to do. How does he know what HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him to do? Through his Torah and mitzvahs. He uses the best of his ability. Because what is telling him the Ratzin? We want to know what the will of Hashem is. The will of Hashem is revealed through his Torah and mitzvahs. Through his Torah and mitzvahs. And through the instruction of the instructions of the Chachma Yisrael, of what the will of Hashem is. If a person studies that, and he seeks to fulfill the will of Hashem through this, and he uses his eyes and his heart and his seichel to the best of his ability, and the rest he trusts HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then it states HaKadosh Baruch Hu will intervene. He'll help him. It states how the Chazal tell us, Habol letaher misayin oisei. Habol letame peischin lei. Someone who's coming to be metaher, he wants with all his heart just to fulfill the will of Hashem. And he tries. And he relies on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will help him. That's Siyata Dishmaya. Someone who doesn't want to do that, he doesn't want to rely on Hashem, he doesn't want to fulfill the will of Hashem, or he doesn't want to know the will of Hashem, then it says HaKadosh Baruch Hu won't help him do wrong, but Peschinla, he'll open the door. That's up to you. Here he didn't push them into it, but he opened the door. The door is open. You want me to close the door? I can't. Peschinla, door is open. Lecho, shlach lecho, it's up to you. This is the way the world works. So therefore, one has to be very, very careful when he starts to say, it was Bashet. Bashet means it was Hashem's will. When a person, not everything a person does is Hashem's will. All right. Now, Rashi asked the question. The question he's bringing from the Gemara. Right at the beginning, the last parsha that we learned in Baal Eisecha was about the Loshon Hara, the slander, which Aaron and Miriam spoke against Moshe. The story was is that after the giving of the Torah, Moshe never returned to his family, to his wife. Even though everyone was supposed to be separated, man and wife, at the giving of the Torah. But afterwards, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told everyone, Shuv alachem la'alechem, go return to your homes. But Moshe never went back to his wife. That's really out of place. Because that's written at the end of Parshas Baal Eisecha, which is way out of place, because that took place immediately after the giving of the Torah the year before. And here it's written right next to the Meraglim. So, if something is out of place, it's there for a purpose. So, because I'll say it's there to put that Parsha together with this Parsha. Because even though Miriam and Aaron were miskaven leteva, they wanted to do good. And we've gone into those details before. We do not have time this evening. But nevertheless, Miriam was stricken with leprosy for 7 days because of that. So, Loma nismo chepashas meraglim lepashas Miriam lefisha loksal iske dibo shedibro ba'ochio rishoyim alolu rov velei lokhu musar. These are the rishoyim, these 12 people who are not the rishoyim. Kulam Anoshim, they were all people of high stature, but they became Rishoyim. They came back and they slandered the land. They should have learned, because they saw what happened it was not too long ago, to Miriam. And therefore they should have learned. And because they didn't learn, it brought them to this. Now the Torah is teaching us something here. It's teaching us that we have to use our eyes. When we see something, we must learn from it. The Torah is teaching us that had they used their eyes, they could have saved themselves from this fate. But they did not use their eyes and their ears and their seichel. As the Vilna Gaon writes, why is a person given two eyes? He says, one is for Torah and one is for the world. He has to use his eyes for everything, not go around with his eyes closed. Yiddish is called blinde Augen, a gate mit blinde Augen. He walks with blind eyes. Man, who is the Nifch Bechir HaNivroim, Kodesh Baruch Hu created him as the greatest of all of his creations. He gave him all of the faculties necessary for life. So that means he has to look and think. Had they looked and think and thought, then they wouldn't have gotten themselves into this terrible mess. Because they would have saw, like the Rambam writes, Umam Miriam. Miriam loved Moshe Rabbeinu. Not only did she love Moshe Rabbeinu, she risked her life to save his life by the Pare. And she brought him up. And she was his older sister. And her whole intent was because she felt he was doing wrong. And he had wronged his wife, Tzipporah. And she tried to make amends for it. And therefore she rebuked him. And still look at what happened to him. This is what the Rambam writes. He brings it from the Sifri. So had they used their eyes and their ears, they wouldn't have gotten into this mess. And that's what the Torah is teaching us here. So from here we see that when a person goes through life, from everything that he sees, he must learn from it. Take a lesson. This is what the world says, that one thing we learn from history, that nobody learns from history. Because history constantly repeats itself. It repeats over the same errors. The same errors, the same tragedies. Generation after generation. So one thing we learn from history for sure, that nobody learns from history. Well, this is what the Torah is telling us here. And a person can say, well, I didn't think of it. He was given a mind to think. Well, I didn't see it. He was given eyes to see. So that's what it says. Loma nismach ha-pashas meraglim le-pashas Miriam. Why is pashas meraglim next to pashas Miriam? Le-fishalok sal iske diba shedibra ba-achiyo. Be-achiyo. Because she was stricken. Because of the slander that she spoke against her brother. Ve-reshoim ha-lolu ro'u. And these Rishoyim saw that, they knew of it, but Leilok Humusar, and they did not take a lesson, a rebuke from it. This was the greatness of Yisrael. Because many people, it says Yisrael heard of the splitting of the sea. And he heard of the going out of Egypt. Well, many people did that. But it says, because of that, he came to join Klal Yisrael. Everybody heard. It didn't make any effect on them. Yisrael was a wise man. He heard and he learned from it. And he came to join Yisrael. Now, we see also something else here. We see that when you go through life, we're constantly challenged. As mentioned, we have to use our eyes, our ears, our seichel. as mentioned, we have to use beyond that our trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But we also have to know how to interpret experiences and what's happening. Two people can see the same thing. Yesh Dorshin L'Shvach, Yesh Dorshin L'Gnai, the Gemara says. One person will come away with a nice interpretation, the other one will come away with just an opposite interpretation. So we have to know how to interpret what's going on also. But how can we, besides using our seichel, the intellect of the person is limited, also has to do with your outlook towards life. Because that's what colors what we see. And in that outlook towards life, you have to take everything into consideration, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu also. And you see, they didn't do this. It's I mentioned a number of times, I once heard from Rabbi Avigdor Miller, Zichrono Livracha. He says three people will go in and they'll go to Ashelashudas. And after the Ashelashudas, one person will say the herring was wonderful. Another person will say the singing was wonderful. And the other person will say the drosha was wonderful. Everyone experienced the same thing. But each one came away with a different interpretation as to what took place. Now, these people, they wanted a shortcut. They wanted to know what they're getting into. They don't want to grope in the dark and rely on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so they were going to make things easier. And the Gemara tells us, says, Yesh derech arucha shi k'tzore, yesh derech k'tzore shi arucha. Sometimes a long way is the shortest way, and sometimes the shortest way is the longest way. And here they took a one-day journey, and they turned it into a forever journey. Now we see a number of things that take place in the Sedra. Here in the middle of the Sedra, it states, Moshe sent him and he told him, go look at the land and find out about the land and the inhabitants and come back and bring a report. So it states, in Pasuk Chof Aleph and Chof Beis, Vayalu vayasur es oretz min varsiyam tzin ad rechev lavoychamos. They went and they scouted out the land from one place to the other. They went by Yalu Vanegev, they went down to the south, by Yovei Ad Hebron, he came to Hebron, and then all of a sudden the Torah starts to tell us about Hebron. It says, in Hebron was Achiman, Sheshai, the Salmai, Yelidi Anok, the Hebron, Shevashonim, Nimnos, Alifnei, Tzayim, Mitzrayim. And Hebron was built 7 years before Tzoan of Egypt. Now, what does this have to do here? They went all over Eretz Israel. All of a sudden, it starts to tell us the history of Hebron. Hebron was built 7 years before Tzoan in Egypt. So the Chazal asked the question. They say, no, it's telling us something else. Not that. There's another question, because this land belonged to Canaan. Canaan was one of the sons of Chom. Mitzrayim belonged to another son of Chom, by the name of Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim was an older son. Canaan was a younger son. Is it possible that Chom would build the city of Hebron for his younger son 7 years before he would build Tzoan for his older son? So what is the Torah telling us? So the Chazal Darshan is telling us something else. It's not telling us the geography or the history or the timetable. It's saying that Hebron was seven times more beautiful than Tzoan of Egypt. Now, the Chazal say, to appreciate that, we have to explain. Hebron was the worst of Eretz Israel. It's rocky. It's barren. And that's why it was set aside to keep it emaciated. We find that there are kforim there. Actually, Moris Machpelah is there. It was set aside to keep it emaciated for burial. So Hebron is the worst of Eretz Israel. Tzoan was the city in Egypt where the kings would live. The kings always take the best. So Tzoan is the best of Egypt. Egypt was the most beautiful land in the world before the episode of the Eser Makis and the Yetzias Mitzrayim and so forth. It was the most beautiful land in the world. It states, Kigan Hashem ki Eretz Mitzrayim. When the Torah is describing Sdom Va'amore, it says it was like a garden of Hashem, like the land of Egypt. So if Egypt is the most beautiful land in the world, then Tzoan would be the most beautiful city in the world. Hebron was the worst of Eretz Yisrael. It was 7 times more beautiful than Tzoan. 7 times more beautiful than Tzoan. That means the worst of Eretz Yisrael, the worst of Eretz Yisrael, 7 times more beautiful than the most beautiful city in the world. I will say that means that when Eretz Yisrael was in its beauty and Mietz Hashem, please God, again will be in its splendor, the Swiss Alps will look like a slum. This is what the Torah is telling us. Now the question is, why? But why is this here? Because it's telling us what the Maraglim saw. They went to see if it's a beautiful land. Were they blind? They come to us, Hebron, and they see that's the worst of Eretz Yisrael because they traveled over the whole land. And they had come from Egypt. And they see it 7 times more beautiful than the most beautiful city of the most beautiful land in the world. So what's wrong? Something wrong? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says it's yours. Now, they found something wrong with it. Another example. It says, Vayavol Anachal Eshkol, they came to the river of Eshkol, Vayichrusu Misham Zemora, Veshkol Anovim Echot, and they cut off one cluster of grapes, a branch with a cluster of grapes. Now, a branch with a cluster of grapes is not very large. Vayisouhu Vamot Bishnoim, and two carried it with staves. It takes two people with staves to carry a branch with a cluster of grapes. Uminarimainim uminateinim. And from the pomegranates and from the figs. So the Gemara tells us, and Rashi brings, Shmona notlu eshko. 8 of them carried the cluster of grapes, the branch with the cluster of grapes. It took 8 of them. They were strong men. Echo notal te'eino. One carried a fig. What does it mean, one carried a fig? The echod rimon. One carried a pomegranate. That was 10. Yeshua v'kolev le'notl klum. Yeshua v'kolev refused to carry any. Why? Because you come to a land and you see that it has such fruit. So you see that it's a special land. You see the broch of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, they said, this will be proof that there's something wrong with this land. Because they were going to say, Keshem Shepirya Mishuna Kach Amo Mishuna. Just like its fruits are so abnormal, the ferocious tribes that live here are also abnormal. We'll take this back as evidence. And that's why Yeshua V'Kolev refused to carry any. Again, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going out of his way to show them the beauty of the land and to show them the brochas. No, they're Dorish Lignai. They're able to see in the most beautiful things the most ugliest. Another example. When they came back, so they said that it's a land, She'oicheles Yeshveho. It's a terrible land. It's a land that kills its inhabitants. When you tell someone, go live in a land in the middle of the Amazon jungle that's infested with malaria or everything else, that everybody dies there. So someone's going to go live there. This is what they said. It's a land which is plagued with death. It kills its inhabitants. Where did they see that? Because they saw a lot of burials taking place. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu made it special like that, so the people will be busy and they will not see the meraglim. Otherwise they were liable to kill them. So he did that to protect them. They didn't see, I mean, there was burials, but not that many. No, again, they twisted it. Eretz, an Eretz ochel sheshvehal. It consumes its inhabitants. Here we see, like we mentioned, we see all of the time things happening before our eyes. But it's up to us how to interpret it. Otherwise, we can be very, very misled. Now, after all of this, and there were more Avedas, first of all, like we mentioned, they didn't have trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Secondly, they came back, they saw, they twisted everything they saw. Thirdly, the Gemara tells us that not only when they came back did they rebel against Moshe Rabbeinu, because they said, Nasa Reish v'Noshuv el Mitzrayim, let's make a new king, let's throw out Moshe, and let us go back to Egypt. It was better in Egypt. So not only they rebelled against Moshe Rabbeinu, but they rebelled against HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. Mora brings where they said, Ki chosu ku bimenu, we cannot conquer the land. It is too strong, not only they said for us, but even for him, for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Kavi yochel ein balabais yochel ahetzi keilav misham. The Balabas himself will not be able to conquer. The people are so gigantic and so ferocious, even Hashem. So they were kefir bi'ikr. They even denied HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But we should know that after all of this, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was prepared to be mevater, to forgive. The Gemara tells us. What point was it where he said he would not forgive? That was because of the dibas ha'aretz, the slander, the lashon hara. And that he said he's not prepared to forgive. Now, the Mishnah tells us, the Mishnah in the Gemara in Masechet Erechin goes into this. Excuse me 1 minute. Masechet Erechin, and Av Tes Vov, Mishnah states, "B'meitzi Shemra lo hokel lo lahachmir keitzad." Then it states, "Nimtza." It brings the penalty that a person has to pay for Meitzi Shemra. Meitzi Shemra is slandering a woman. The woman is betrothed, and the husband comes and wants to slander that she was unfaithful, and it's found that he's lying, so he has to pay a certain penalty. But that penalty is even greater than someone who actually violates a woman, a single woman. So we see that slandering, accusing someone of doing something, is actually more severe than someone who he himself actually violates the woman. Shekein motzinu shele nishatim gzadin ala vesena b'midbar ela aloshen hora. We find that the decree that our forefathers would die in the desert and not go into Eretz Yisrael was sealed only because of Loshon Hora, as it states by Nusay Sizeh Eser Bomim. You have challenged me 10 times. This was the 10th. Now the Gemara asks on that. Gemara says, "Mimai dilma mishum de kagorim lektola deksi bimemaso yadover vahitzi asanara amarov amakro ki yahitzi shemra al shemra shahotzi." Firstly, maybe the reason why the one who slanders this married woman, his wife, is because he was trying to bring the death penalty on her. That's why it's so severe. Gemara says no, because the Torah says the reason why he gets this penalty because ki hotze shemra, he brought a bad name on her. Then the Gemara says, what's the raya? What's the proof? This was the 10th time that Klal Yisrael challenged HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this was, like we say, Loshon Hora. But what's the proof? It was because of this. Maybe it was all 10 accumulative. Because Nishma Le'asor, this was the final straw. This is what the Gemara asks. Mimai dum da'akati le'mole sosum. This was the final saw, the final straw. Omer eshlokish omakro vayanusu aisi ze eser poamim vayanusu aisi ze eser poamim al ze nishatim gzardin. Now, darshan from the psukim that explicitly the Torah says, for this one, the decree will be sealed. Not for all 10, but for this one of the 10th one, I will seal the decree. Then, and then the Gemara says, then it says, how do you know? Yeah. Then the Gemara comes along and says, maybe it was because of other things. Maybe it was because they wanted to revolt against Moshe Rabbeinu, like we said. Maybe it's because they even said on HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he can't do it. Moshe says no. Why? Because Dilma Mishumta Bachanina Bapoba Domer Chinina Bapoba Dova Godl Dibru Maragli Meisa Shoh Diksiv Ki Chozaku Mimenu Al Tikre Chozaku Mimenu Et Kaviyocho Balabai Sein Yocho Lahotzi Kelem Mishom Ela Omar Rabba Omer Eishloki Shomar Kroa Vayamuso Anoshim Maitziei Dibaso Oretz. The Torah explicitly says in our Pasha that the ones that slandered the land, they were put to death. Al Dibaso Oretz Shohotzi, because they slandered the land. Kodesh Baruch Hu says it's not because they wanted to overthrow Moshe Rabbeinu. Not because they didn't have bitochen in me. Not because they said, even I can't do such a thing. Those things I could forgive. But because they slandered the land. Now, people make a mistake in this. People usually, popular belief is because they slandered Eretz Yisrael. This was the Aveda. Eretz Yisrael is Eretz Yisrael. It's Betzia in Sheikhir Hashem, it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's dwelling place. That's true. But it wasn't because of Eretz Yisrael. The Gemara says that they slandered a human being, it would have been worse. Gemara comes along and says, Bo rei kama godel keech shel loshon hara. From here we see how enormous the aveira of loshon hara is. Uma hameitzi shemra al eitzim ba'avonim. They only slandered stones and wood. What? Eretz Yisrael was hurt. Eretz Yisrael became ashamed. Became embarrassed. They only slandered eitzim ba'avonim, stones and wood. And look what happened. Hamaitzi shemra al chaverai. So someone who brings a shemra, who brings a bad name to his chaver, al achas kama v'kama. How much more so? So the Aveda was because they were Metziah Dibas Oretz. They slandered Eretz Yisrael. But not because Eretz Yisrael, slandering Eretz Yisrael is the worst thing in the world. Slandering your fellow man is far, far worse, the Gemara says. And this was the Lashon Hara. Now the Gemara continues. Gemara says, Tanya Omer Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda learned, Esen Nishaynais Niswa Vesena LaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, our forefathers challenged HaKadosh Baruch Hu 10 times. This is the a Mishnah Masechta Ovis also, in Perkei. Shnayim Bayom, twice at the sea. Shnayim Bamayim, twice with water. Shnayim Bamon, twice with the mon. Shnayim Beslov, twice with the quail. Achas Be'egul, once at the golden calf. Achas Be'midbar Poron, and once in Midbar Poron, that's here with the maragli. Shnayim Be'yom, Achas Be'yirida, Achas Be'aliyah. Twice at the sea, once when they went down into the sea, and once when they came out of the sea. Because when they went down into the sea, before they were going into the sea, they went and they started to shout, Amibli ein kvorim b'mitzrayim. Why did you take us here to the sea that we should drown? There are no graves in Egypt. Ba'aliyah, and when they came out of the sea, they also challenged HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because they said, that just like Kishem Sha'ono only mitzad ze, kach mitzrayim only mitzad acher. Just like we are coming out of the sea on this side, the Egyptians will come out of the sea over in another place, and now they will run after us. Omale HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'sar shel yom. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to the sar, to the angel that governs the sea, Palait osam li'abosho. Spit out all of the Egyptians in order that they should see them on the shore, and then they won't say, and they'll see them dead, and then they won't say that the Egyptians will come out of the other side and chase us. The sea didn't like that. He said, where do you ever have a case where a master gives his servant a gift and then he comes back and wants to take it back? He says, I want to keep the Egyptians underwater. They're mine, you gave them to me. Why should I give them back? Kodesh Baruch Hu says, give them back to me, and I will give you 1.5 for every one you give me back. And then he said, "He's all right." So they made a deal. Where did he give them back 1.5? So the Gemara says, Rashi brings, that by Sisro, because by Sisro, it states that he had 900 chariots, and Pare had 600 chariots, and evidently the chariots of Sisro also went into the Nachal, into the river, into the water. So you give me back the 600, I'll give you back 900. Tosfos asks the Kasha, there actually was far more. 600 is not a lot. Actually, it was far more. The 600 chariots it states in Denver called Recha Mitzrayim, all of the chariots of Mitzrayim, but the 600 were the choice chariots that each one had a high commander on it. They said that was the main thing. Then it states, Shnayim b'mayim, twice with water, b'mora u'b'repidim. Mora was right after they came out from the sea. They traveled to Mora, and they couldn't drink the water because it was bitter. And they started to bayolano ama Mesha. And they started to complain to Mesha. Why did you take us out? Bidipidim, that's by Yachna, Bidipidim vein maim lishtes. Bayora va'om im Mesha. That was where, in the Bidipidim later, and they didn't have water, and there they got angry with Mesha, and Mesha struck the rock. Shnayim b'mon, twice with the mon. Diksiv al-teitzu, Kodesh Baruch Hu said, nobody should go out on Shabbos, Vayetzu. And two went out, Dosen Vaviro. Altosiru, Kodesh Baruch Hu says, you should not leave over from the month, from one day to the other, Vayosiru. And they left over. Shnayim Beslop, twice with the quails, Berishayim, Ubisheni. Evidently, there were two Rashi and Tesis go into this. There were two episodes with the quails. Then, big eagle with the golden calf. And then, Midbar Paran, here with the Meraglim. So, here we see that with all of the other Averus, and all of the Eser Pomim, the 10 times that they challenged the Kodesh Baruch Hu, Kodesh Baruch Hu wasn't happy with that, but he was prepared to forgive. But out there, he said, at the Loshen Hara, I will not forgive. And they, what did they come back? When they came back, they reported, it says, Vayeshuvu Mitubra Oretz. They came back from spying out the land after 40 days. And Bonu Alors, we came to the land. And Gam, yes, it is a good land. And it is a land of milk and honey. But look at its fruit. And Azo Om, Ayeshid Ba'oretz. And dangerous people that live there, they're very, very strong. And fortified cities to the heavens. And Yelidei Anok, and the giants live there. And Amalek lives there. And the Chittim, and the Yebusim, and the Hamorim, and the Canaanim. And then Kaleb tried to silence them. He says, no, we can go and conquer the land. And they said, Leinuchal, it's a land that you'll never be able to conquer. Ki chosakum mimenu. It's stronger than us, it's stronger than HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And by Yotziu Dibas Oretz. And they slandered Eretz Yisrael. And they said, it's not a good land. Eretz Echelesh Yeshfeahi. It's a land of death, which consumes its inhabitants. And everyone that we saw there were Anshei Midos, giants. And we saw the Nephilim. The Nephilim were supposed to be people that, giants that fell down from heaven. And Bnei Anok mina Nephilim, and we saw the descendants of the Nephilim that were giants, and we were like grasshoppers in their eyes. This was a report I gave back. It's a Mashunadika land. It's a crazy land. It's a land that's full of people, and each one is more ferocious than the other, and the fruit is that way and that. This HaKadosh Baruch Hu won't tolerate. The Loshen Hara. And not necessarily because it was Eretz Yisrael. Because the Gemara says, had it been on a person, it would have been worse. This I will not tolerate. Now, very concisely, what is so bad with Loshen Hara? Loshen Hara is evil from two aspects. From the aspect of who it's said upon, and from the aspect of who says it. From the aspect of who it says, who it's said upon, it destroys his name. When you slander someone, you are destroying his good name. If you say, look, I know that person, and you can't trust him, and he's a gunner, and he's an alcoholic, and he's a bad person, and he's a grumbly person, he's whatever, and he's not so frum, and he eats this, and he drinks this, and his father once was a criminal, and he comes from this type of family, so what are you doing? You're actually destroying his name. What's wrong with destroying a name? Shem Tov Ole Al Kulono. It states, Kodesh Baruch Hu gave Israel three crowns, the crown of Torah, the crown of Kohuna, priesthood, the crown of Malchus, the crown of kingship, the Keser Shem Tov Ol Al Kulam. Greatest crown a person can have is his name. here with this person's mouth, he went and he destroyed the name of a person. That's worse than killing him. Because if a person is dead, the Gemara says, his name lives on forever. You cannot, a name doesn't die. It says a name lives on forever, and a good name goes misefa ilamat sefer. You take the name of Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu is dead for thousands of years. Yet his name is not dead. The name of David HaMelech, it states, went from one end of the world. Who doesn't know about King David? He died years ago. Destroy a name of a person. This is what a person does with his mouth. He thinks he's doing nothing. And that's the beetle to the Tzelem Elohim. Name describes the Tzelem, the image that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created man in. A Shem Tov. Talking about a good name. And people so easily talk and talk and talk and talk. Moses says this is murder. This is Shvichas Romim. It's worse than Shvichas Romim. So, from one aspect, it's from who it's set upon. From the other aspect, it's set. What is he doing? Because when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created man, he gave him a supreme power. And that supreme power, even more than his intellect, and more than his das and his tfuna, is his power of speech. That's why whenever the Chazal refer to the entity of man, they refer to him as the medaber, speaker. The fact that he can formulate thoughts. The intellect is something which is not in this world. And he can formulate thoughts and bring it out into this world. That's the greatest power that was given to man. That's why he's referred to as the Madaber. That's when he was called Nefesh Chaya. Nefesh Chaya, Ungela says he was made into the speaker. And he's able to take from the most concealed thoughts and the deepest thoughts and formulate it and communicate it and bring it into this world. This is his greatest power. And this is done through all of man, because this has to encompass physical man. It has to encompass the breath of life which is in him, the emotions and the seichel and the intellect. So besides the enormous power in it, it states, and when he does evil with it, he's doing evil with every part of his being. If he does good with it, he's doing good with every part of his being. But when he does evil with it, the Gemara says, therefore, it's shokel, kineged, shvichas domim, avedizor, shvichas domim, begila arayis. Because those three cardinal averas a person does with a different aspect of his being. And here with the dibur, he uses his entire being into the dibur. And he destroys another person's name. And then the Gemara says even further. He has no physical benefit from it. He doesn't get anything from it. There's no emotion, there's no physical desire for it. So it says it was the chet of the nochosh. This was the sin of the serpent. The serpent, it says, was given a klolo. He was given a curse that he will kill without desire. He will bite without desire. Animals don't do that. They'll bite in self-defense. But otherwise they'll do it for a desire to eat. But the serpent not. Because it's the essence of evil. This is the essence of Lashon Hara. The Rambam brings at the end of Hilchos Deos. He says in Perek Shvi, he says, a maragel bechaveirei, eve beleisas. Someone who carries gossip from one person to the other, which will cause machlekes, she transgresses a negative commandment, as it states, leiselich rochil ba'amecho. You shall not be carry tales of gossip one from the other that will cause machlekes. Today, these are ma'asim shebechol yom, unfortunately, heaven forbid. People talk, and they carry from one place to the other information that will cause machlekes. And they should realize that this is 1,000 times worse than eating the velis and wafers. And if they have any doubt about that, so let them learn the Sefer from the Chofetz Chaim, where he documents it all. And even though there's no actual punishment from Beis Din on this, but it's an enormous sin. Begeirim lahareg nefoshes rabbis b'Yisrael. And it causes the death of many, many people in Israel. And therefore, next to it, in the Torah, it states, you shall not stand by the blood of your brother. Go and learn what happened to Doag, or Adomi, with his Lashon Hara. He went and he brought, he didn't say Lashon Hara, but he said Rechilus, where he brought information to Shaul about Dovid HaMelech, which he was not Lashon Hara at all. But this was about the Ira Kahanim, no Ira Kahanim, but which he knew would infuriate Shaul, and therefore it was Rechilus, and because of this, this was the downfall of Doag, the downfall, the complete annihilation of a city of Kahanim by Shaul, and this was the downfall of Shaul. Ezehu Rochel, Zeh Shetayin Dvorim, Vahelet Mizeh, Mizeh, Vahim Ekach Amapleni, Kach Vakach Shomati Alpleni, Afo Pishu Emes, Arizeh Machri Vesolem. What is Rechilus? What we said, he carries information one for the other, which insightful information one to the other, even though it's true, this person is destroying the world. Yesh oven godl mizah meod. Now the Rambam says there's another avera which is far worse. Far worse. What is that? Buhu bechlal abzeh. It's inclusive in this commandment. Uloshen hora. That's loshen hora. That's not where you carry insightful information one to the other, but that's where you slander the name of your fellow man. Buhu amasape begnus chavere. Afal pisha emer emes. Even though it's true. If you say a lie on someone else, he says that's a different avera. That's meitzi shemra al chavere. That's giving a false name to someone. That's another avera. Lashon hara is when you say something on another person that's true, but by doing it, you are damaging his name, and therefore you have no business to say it, unless it's where one is allowed to say it. There are times that a person has to know when, and he has to be very, very careful. And again, you can refer to the Sefer Chofetz Chaim, where he brings seven conditions in such a case. Six or seven conditions. Then the Rambam says, Avo Baal Loshen Hora. Now there's another category. What is that Baal Loshen Hora? What's a Baal Loshen Hora? Baal Loshen Hora is Zesi Yeshe Ve'emer. These are people, there's the other person who, from time to time, he will say Loshen Hora. Baal Loshen Hora are people that you'll say are what would be the word? Habitual gossipers. Habitual gossipers. That sheyeshe ve'emer. This is what they always do. Kach ve'kach osopleini, kach ve'kach oyaveisov, kach ve'kach shamati olov. This is what so-and-so did, this is what his fathers did, This is what I heard about him. And it's abusive language. It's language which is a language which is tarnishing his good name. Now, who's that? These are people that wherever they are, they're always talking about something bad about someone else. You meet them, they'll tell you something bad about someone else. They're a chasna, they'll talk bad about someone else. You sit at a table with them. They're on the phone, whatever. This the Torah says, Yikoresh Hashem kol sifsei halokas loshir medaberes gedulais. HaKoresh Baruch Hu will cut them off. He will cut these people off from the nation. Omru Chachomim. Shleish Avedis Nifraim Mino Odom Be'elam Azeh Ve'elechelek Le'elam Abo. There are three Avedis which HaKoresh Baruch Hu extracts payment in this world, and they lose their chelek in the Eilam Habo, in the next world, heaven forbid. Avodas Kechovim, Gila Arayis, Ushvichas Domim. Idolatry, incest and immorality, and adultery, and the spilling of blood. Loshon Hara, Keneged Kulam. Loshon Hara equals all three. Now, the Rambam goes further, but we don't have time to go further into this. I mean, there are volumes written on this. But this is a concise insight into. So therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, he said, till now, I was ready to forgo everything. Asher upon 10 times you have challenged me. But al zeh, but for this, not for the 10, for this one, I will not. And it states, and he brought the punishment to the Meitzi Diba So'oretz, to those who slandered the land. Well, said, we see why? Because of the slander. So there are many insights that halavai we should all be zeicha to learn from this parsha of Baraglim. And we should only hear and see good things.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information, or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.